radio 212. Complex.
DPS. Go. Inco. Go. PUS. Go. Surgeon. Go. Booster. Go. Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today. And let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training. And use code TALKING20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website, again, is podcastcadet.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. We are here with legend E. Swift at LabWorks Studios in Las Vegas.
Yes, how are you doing, E?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. We have known each other for a little while, and yeah. I was so happy to be able to finally do this interview with you before I left from a very busy CES.
Yeah.
But you've recently been back out on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, you've never really stopped producing music.
Right. No.
But you've been back out with a whole bunch of new stuff, right?
Yeah. We've been out on the road. You know, of course, everything got shut down for a minute.
Yeah.
But that just gave me time to focus on staying in the studio, working on new projects, licensing a lot of music for TV, film, and the lights. And then now that, you know, everybody's back outside, we're hitting the road, doing more shows, more tours.
Yeah.
And, you know, see how long that lasts. But, man, I never, you know, I'm always involved with so much stuff, you know, but music is always a part.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sure. Same here in my life. You have to make music for it now.
Right.
Or make time
make
for
time
the music.
Make time for the music, you know.
That's
it. And I'm not a teenager no more. So, you know, when I would spend 24 hours in my room DJing with my turntables next to my bed, you know, like life goes on. You know, you got family, you got, you know, you got businesses to run, and you know, but the music is always right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, you know, for me, it's kind of been my bread and butter. You know, with taking care of my family, so I always have to make time for the music, but you know, make time for regular life too.
Well, sure.
Good balance.
It's all about balance.
Yes.
That's just it.
Yeah.
And you know, with someone with the production schedule you have outside of the studio, everything else, how do you find that balance? How do you schedule that? Because a lot of people really don't understand the fact that like you have to schedule that into your week.
You do. It's, you know, and it's never the same way. You know, you kind of I prioritize things, you know, which helps me, you know, fit the music in. I'm also a night guy, like, you know what I'm saying? In the day, like, I am a nocturnal. Been that way since a kid. I'll be the dude that fall asleep on the couch at 4 o'clock in the morning. My mom trying to make me go to bed. I'm like, no. I'm just resting my eyes. I ain't ready to go to bed yet. So that's me. Like, after a certain time when the sun goes down, that's when the creative part of my mind really kicks in. So and luckily enough to have a wife that understands that. I've been that way since the day we met. So I'll be able, you know, once I'm done with the Eric Brooks house family stuff, E. Swift kicks into overdrive, and I'm out doing my thing at my studio, or I have a studio at home as well. So if I don't feel like leaving the house and being right there, I just go in there. But that's kind of how my schedule works now. You know, I schedule all this other stuff in the daytime. We also own a flower shop, and I'll help. I'm available, like, you know. And then of course doing the audio video production stuff that we met at. So I try to fit all that in the daytime, and then like after a certain time, sun goes down, I'm in the studio till like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
You
know?
So
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I do it.
Now, you've got quite a bit of equipment in here, some in the box, some out of the box. What's your typical workflow whenever you're recording?
Well, I use my primary DAW is Pro Tools, but then I also use Ableton making beats. I'm an MPC guy, but then I have all the fun little plugins and all the whatnots. But my main thing is MPC and Ableton, using them together. Turntable and vinyl, of course, has always been part of my workflow. So usually I like to just vibe out, go through some vinyl, listen to some music, find some breaks, and then start chopping it up from there. So I'm primarily a sample producer, like, you know, but then sometimes I have jam sessions and have some dope musicians come in and play along and just let them just play.
Yeah.
Go back in, take little bits and pieces of that and throw it into my, you know, my equipment and get busy from there. But I try to keep it simple. Like, I feel like the more equipment you got and the more things you got to learn, it takes away from actually making music. I've spent weeks just new equipment, trying to figure out a new workflow.
Yeah.
And making stuff, but not really for the sake of keeping it, just kind of going through the motions. And I find, like, once you find something that works for you, just stick with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm a gearhead like anybody else. I love the technology, but when it comes to really being productive, like learn something and master that and just stick with that.
Yeah, just strip it down to the bare essentials as much as possible.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, there's stuff that some of this software does. It's not for me. It's too much. I'll never go to that far into it, you know. I have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I just master those too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big outboard gear guy. I love outboard gear, beat machines, things like that. But only recently have I stepped into the world of mastering my music digitally.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. That's that's definitely a different skill set, you know?
Yeah.
Mastering. Yeah. Yeah. I usually, all our records, I usually went with one of the best in the business at the time, Bernie Grundman.
Mm.
Like, that was, and I learned a lot from him. Like, just sitting there watching, asking questions. But there's nothing, let me just make sure I read it, say this, that nothing like outboard gear. Like, nothing like the warmth of some nice outboard gear.
Yeah,
I'm a Neve guy, to be honest. I'm a warm Neve, hit the tape hard kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the newer cats or producers even, they don't even know that process of sitting in the studio session, watching them align the tape.
Yep.
You know, having to go, first of all, having to show up to the session with your 2-inch tape under your arm.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And besides, and not only that, there was a time where just you had to go to the studio to make an album, you know, to make a record. And that wasn't cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I don't take that for granted either. Like, so when I'm in the studio, I try to be efficient with my time. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just a whole different era now, you know?
Yes.
With being creative and making music, but it's accessible to everybody. So that's why we have so much different stuff out there.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how the technology has made it to where folks like Billie Eilish and her brother can be recording a Grammy Award-winning album 2 feet from their bed.
Yeah, easy. Like, you know, and if the technology existed at the time when we were coming up, we would have been just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the closest we had to it was like the 4-track cassette multi-recorders.
Yep.
Which were dope. Like, once I got my hands on one at all,
it was a game changer. I've still got my 424.
Oh, see?
At home, and it's about to be put inside of a glass case with a hammer.
Yeah.
Just in case emergency break glass.
It'll work.
And oddly enough, I just posted an article to Talking Sound just the other day talking about TDK coming out with new tape.
Nice.
Coming out
and
with
I'm
new
sure
tape.
And I'm sure it's going to be the best quality ever. Like, you use the new tape. Like, I want to do a full project just like that. I'll do a full album on a 4-track cassette recorder right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just because. Just do something different.
They were a great tool because you could really just hack around,
yeah, yeah.
you know, without starting templates, starting a new track, assigning it to an input.
Without worrying about the computer crashing.
And for instance, in my home studio, I actually used one of the new Tascam M12 series boards.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
Really great, but I am a four-track fiend. Yeah. That is my workflow. Yeah. That's where making music makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And now instead of having to start up a full project in a DAW, all I have to do is turn that on, record just like a four-track, and pull the card.
I like that idea.
Transfer it.
I like that concept, man. So, like, that's where I'm from. I'm from that school.
Yeah.
You know, and like I try to narrow down my process as much as possible. So I can, you know, bang them out. You know what
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Being in the studio really is about efficiency. And whenever you have newer musicians coming into your studio here, how do you prepare them for that? Because it can be hard your first time in a studio. You come in, there's microphones and, you know, screens and lights.
And man, honestly,
it's easy to get overwhelmed.
There's so much raw talent that flows through me, and I've never been to a studio before, never, you know, been in the recording, but they're talented. You know, there's raw talent. And I try to tell them, don't get intimidated by all that.
Yeah.
Just go in there. And I'm starting to really make it not so fish, like for instance, if there's a vocalist here writing, I won't have them go in the vocal booth. I'll bring the mic out to them.
Mm.
They can be while they're sitting here with their pad.
Yeah.
So they can try it out. It's going to be quality enough to where they do it, we can keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
Done. Come out. It'll come out just like that. So try not to make the process so formal, because that can be intimidating.
It can be.
You know, just naturally just do what you want, you know, have the mic sitting here. And a lot of people are like, man, why didn't we do that before? Like, going in there, everybody's looking at you through this glass. You're like a fucking fish in a fishbowl. And, you know, everybody's tuned in. And if you hit this
now
perfect
perform.
Note, yeah, now go.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't mess it up. This is you know what I mean? Like, that's never works. Never works. So just sit back, relax, and get it off. Like when I'm writing or if I'm doing something, I'll sit here with the mic in front of me. I'll do little by little if I have to. You know, just so you don't lose the idea.
Yeah.
But there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's whatever's comfortable.
What is your songwriting process? Is it something for you that, because of course you, like you said, you're much more of a beat master and things like that. Yeah. Sample artist. Yeah. But you definitely write some lyrics and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I rap a little.
Well, I mean, you know, you spend a little time with the alcoholic stuff. But what's your process when it comes to writing music?
I honestly, I'm more of a writer. Like, I'll do the music first and then, you know, just depending on what it's giving me, if it's a dark or if it's a dancey song or if a chill song, then I'll just whatever comes to me. Like, I don't really have a certain process per se, but I will say this: like the first sentence, the first line is always the hardest to do for most artists. Usually, once you get the first line or two, everything kind of flows from there. But I like to do things quiet, like nobody around. Like, you know, I'm more of an introvert actually when it comes to music. Like, if it's a studio full of people, you know, I don't really feed off of that. I kind of lock into what I'm doing by myself, and it kind of comes out like that. But there's really no certain process for every song I write. It's just whatever comes to me, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of people are like, I can't write until I have a verse.
Yeah.
You know, can't write until once I have a chorus or a hook.
Yeah.
I'm good.
A lot of times, too, when I'm sketching out ideas, I won't write it down. I'll just think of something in my head.
Mm.
And then I'll record, even if it's two bars, three bars.
Yeah.
Let it play. Oh, okay. I'm going to add on to that. Record. And then once I have it all pieced together, I'll memorize it, and then I'll go in and perform it.
Yeah.
Once I know the whole thing and add my little flair to it. And it's crazy because who really brought that idea or that concept of recording to me was we did a song with Old Dirty Bastard from Wu-Tang, rest in peace. And we was in the studio doing that song. It was like, that's how we did it. He's like, he had an idea. He's like, turn the mic on. Go in there, boom, 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 boom. He come up with some other crazy shit. All right, I'm ready. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh, man, this is
interesting.
This is interesting. And it's yeah. more fun that way. It's not so robotic.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, reading off the paper. Yeah. Like, ugh.
Yeah, well, trying to get the rhyme every third word. Yeah. Things like that.
Like, no, just go. Just, you know, just organic, man. Whatever yeah. comes to your mind, just lay it down. So, yeah, I'm just a fan of freedom, bro. Like, let's be free with it. You know, even with making beats, like, don't quantize, you know?
Yeah,
be free.
I you know, it's interesting because I've never quantized my beats.
Really?
Ever.
Oh, that's incredible because ever. I've gotten to the, well, I started off on the SP 1200 and I was used to a certain swing of that machine.
Sure.
You know how every machine has its own thing. Yeah. And I moved to the ASR 10 and that was the most incredible machine that I had encountered up to that point.
Mm.
You know, limited in certain things,
yeah.
but dope regardless. Had this own swing, you know, MPC, own swing.
Yeah.
But then I figured, you start turning the quantize off, all those machines are going to have your swing, your feel.
They're you know all going to have that slight that natural slight, variation now.
Right. So, and Jay Dilla was, you know, rest in peace, another guy that was, and he was known for that, the offbeat snare, that, you know, but it all made sense when it all came together.
Sure, sure.
You know, you might solo the drums and be like, damn, this drummer is way off. And you throw that.
You music throw it in the mix with everything else.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Humanize everything
yes.
as much as possible. You know, humanize everything. That's what I try to tell people.
It's interesting that you say that because, like I said, most people working in the realm of beats, things like that, it's all about the quantize.
Yeah.
No. It's all about quantize.
Certain things, like if you're going to quantize something, just quantize one element. You know, if it's the snare or if it's the kick.
Yeah, yeah.
On the one.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything should be off the grid a little bit.
Wow.
You know? Even if you quantize it, go back in and throw shit off the grid. Like, you know, staying on the grid is for robots. Like, no drummer is a perfect on the grid guy. None of the greatest drummers, you know, like Zagaboo from the Meters and Clyde, you know, all those greats, that shit had a swing off, you know, off beat. Thing to it, so, and that's what gives you the bounce. So, you know, the real bounce, like not the robotic electro 1/4 shit, you know, that swing, that soul. So,
well, earlier you were talking about licensing music for movies, television, and things like that. Before we wrap this episode, let's talk a little bit about that because I think that's something that not a lot of people are familiar with.
Oh, man.
You know, and there's one thing to like, oh, man, I'm going to get my music on Amazon or Spotify.
Right.
But to get it in those categories.
To get it into those places. Right. In this day and age, that is where you're going to make a lot of money. Up front and long term. You know, think about Netflix, how many shows and how many movies are millions. Think about all those shows, TV shows, movies. Everyone I'm having music in. Everyone. Background music, might have a song in it. Any of them have it. They are paying to use those, you know? Unless they have an in-house team on salary that's making them for them specifically. Yeah. Which is usually not the case. They're licensing these songs. And then commercials on TV. All these, everything you see and hear music for, they're paying for. So having a catalog of music specifically for that use is the biggest asset you could probably have.
Interesting.
You know, but you also have to have the right plug. Like I have a publishing deal through BMG. I'm in direct contact and direct line with music supervisors, managers, so forth. So when there's a film or a TV show being made, I get the heads up. Hey, we need music for this. This is what we're doing. This is what we're looking for.
Interesting.
I can reach into my catalog and, you know, as long as it's now these songs that I do specifically for licensing have no samples, so I don't have to go through other people, you know, so direct A to B, boom, boom. So yeah, I mean, their budgets are ridiculous. You know, just imagine if you get music in the background for a Nike commercial.
Yeah.
You might make a couple $100,000 overnight. You know, so it's all, and it's about speed, having it ready because they need it immediately. So
yeah.
Building a catalog.
Having the catalog.
Having the catalog so you can be like, okay, I got some of this, I got some of this, I got some of this, I got some happy, sad, dark, whatever, whatever. So that's where, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're just making music, don't think just because it's not on Amazon or Spotify or whatever, playing and streaming, that it's not valuable, because you get to the right hands, it might fit the perfect scene of the biggest movie that's coming out of the year. It don't have to be a hit song on the radio. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about that, because those songs are going to be too expensive.
I was going to say, they almost don't want to.
That's why when you hear a song that sounds like, say, 50 Cent in the club, in a film, like, it might just be the beat, but it's not exactly that. It's a replica. It's because they licensed it sample-free, and they paid for it, and now you hear.
Exactly.
You know, instead of in the club, you hear it at the bar or whatever. You know what I mean? It's a version of that. So, yeah, definitely a way to go. Licensing.
Incredible. Sure. Yes. Now, what advice would you give for up-and-coming producers, up-and-coming DJs?
Definitely producers. I would say develop your own sound to where people, because, or have a certain element in there that people can recognize as being yours, because when we were coming up buying records and albums and stuff, we were able to pick up the vinyl, turn it over, read the credits. Like, oh, so-and-so played on this. So-and-so played on this. Oh, what's the name produced this? Oh. Now, we don't have that luxury as much, you know?
Yeah.
We would sometimes read the credits before we even heard the record. Now, it's like you're hearing the song and you're like, I like the song. Like, but who produced it? Who wrote it?
Yeah.
Now you gotta go dig up and find the credits when it was right there. But as opposed to where if you hear a Timbaland track, you know his signature sound, you'd be like, Timbaland did that.
Mm.
Just Blaze did this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the same way as you can recognize signatures in a composer.
Exactly, right. You know, so
they've got thematic things that they use regularly.
Right, and they got a certain time standard or like a certain arrangement pattern that they do. So just, you know, develop your own sound, and just stick with it, man. Like, I've been in this for 30 years, and I'm still growing, still grinding, and I'm still also making money and royalties off of the records I did over 20 years ago.
Sure.
So, it's, you know, if you're going to be in it for real, you'll be in it for the long term, man.
That's it.
Like, no overnight success. Like, just let it organically grow. Don't go for the success and the familiarity or whatever, and the fame overnight. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah. That's great, great, great advice. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Oh, greatly appreciate you, as always, my man.
Always.
Blessings to the family.
You as well.
In the new year.
You as well, man.
You know.
Yeah, y'all stay safe.
Keep plugging it, man. You are out there killing it. Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah. As of right now, we're working on a tour for the summertime with my man Diamond D from the East Coast. So we're working on a tour right now, but as soon as I get dates and everything gets locked in,
awesome.
You know, I'll be letting you know.
Most definitely, man.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much once again for your time today.
Yes.
While you're online checking out, give them where you can go
everything. Come on my Instagram. Go to SwiftZilla, ZILLA, on Instagram, and hit me. I'm an open book, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, send me a message. You got any questions? I answer, you know. I don't have nobody running my page. It's me.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Well, while you're out there checking that out, make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Podcast, TalkingSoundShow.com, TalkingSoundPodcast.com, as well as our parent network, HC Universal, where you can find great episodes and great content. Till next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. For more episodes, industry news, and information, visit us online at TalkingSoundPodcast.com. Subscribe to the Talking Sound Podcast on Amazon Audible, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Get the latest Talking Sound videos on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Breach TV, or your Roku or Amazon Fire device with the APR TV app. Talking Sound is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great shows and content, subscribe to HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Until next time, watch those meters, gig safely, and keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.